Welcome to Living by Faith. This is our weekly 10 a.m., it's actually 10:05 a.m. this morning, broadcast of our weekly program designed to encourage you and to serve perhaps as a small devotional. It is now Tuesday, April 6, 2021, the Tuesday after Resurrection Sunday. And as I was looking this weekend and reflecting on Resurrection Sunday and some of the different things that people say about it or do about it, I was on a news site, and it was interesting to me. They had different reactions from politicians, either past or present, on either side of the aisle. On one side of the aisle, there was a politician, and the headline was that Easter means that we should recognize we are not alone. And then there was, on the other side, someone that said, well, Easter transcends, the resurrection transcends things, and it should just remind us that basically that we can save ourselves. Now, if these were the things that the resurrection means, that it is just something that reminds us we're not alone, or this is something that reminds us that if we do the right things, we can save ourselves, then really the world wouldn't have any problem with it, would it? It would just be a nice, comfortable, encouraging message for people that we can come together, we can come together and just enjoy each other's company and think, isn't this a nice thing once again? But you see, the resurrection is a reminder in one part of the gravity of our situation and the victory over sin. Why is Christianity so divisive? So put off by the world is the world to Christianity. In fact, so much so that right now, as I speak, there is one country in the world that takes Christians, sometimes will take them to an undisclosed location and try to retrain them and try to get them to recant any of their beliefs and all those things because they think their Christian beliefs and the growth of the church is threatening the power structure politically of their country. Why would this be if Christianity was just a feel-good thing? Well, it's because it's not just a feel-good thing. Look at the resurrection and its effects on the people who followed Jesus. The end of Luke, the end of the book of Luke gives us some fascinating details of some of the believers who heard about the resurrection and yet were puzzled by it. So here are these two guys walking on the road to Emmaus, and here they are, verse 21 of chapter 24. It says, "But we had hoped that he," that is Jesus, "was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." So here are these two men. They've heard that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and they don't believe it. They say it's incredible, even though Jesus had clearly said in his teaching to his disciples, again and again, I'll rise again on the third day. He even told his own disciples, the 12, he said, go ahead of me to Galilee, or I will go ahead of you to Galilee, meet me there. And yet they did not believe. So this is what Jesus, who's walking with them on the Emmaus Road, even though they don't recognize him at this point, he says this, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And then just a few verses later, Jesus is appearing to the disciples, and here's what happens. Verse 36, "As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit." They still didn't get it. "And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem." And then, of course, he tells them, "You are witnesses of these things, and I am sending you. Behold, the promises of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Now, as we read these two accounts, the Emmaus Road and then the appearance to these disciples, why do we see that the resurrection is just another in this series of beliefs in the Christian faith that so upset people in the world? You see, the resurrection is not just about mundane things or about soft puffballs coming your way. What is it? First of all, it's a reminder. The people, even who were closest to him and followed him, could not understand the events that were taking place unless Jesus, by his power, the divine power of the Spirit of God, had opened their minds to understand these things. You see, what did he do with the guys on the Emmaus Road? He had to tell them, "Hey, you don't get it. It was necessary that the Christ should suffer and these things should happen and then enter into glory." In other words, the death and the resurrection were crucial to understanding what has to happen for salvation. And so then he began to teach them the Word of God and how all these things fit in to Moses and the prophets and to all the scriptures about himself. And then, of course, to his own disciples as he appeared to them. Notice how many times it says this. They were afraid. They thought they saw a spirit. They didn't get it. When they heard him say, "Touch me, I have flesh," and so forth, they were marveling and disbelieving out of joy. They said, "It can't possibly be true." And then he says, basically, "Have you anything to eat?" And they still don't get it. So he says to them, "Everything in the Old Testament that you read about had to be fulfilled, and this is how it happened." They still didn't get it until he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see, the thing that these politicians don't get was this. They don't get it that the world is so startled at the death and resurrection of Jesus. They're so startled about it because, first of all, it's not just something that makes us feel good or reminds us that we're not alone. This is a radical truth that someone named Jesus, who was the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah of God, prophesied in the Old Testament, was dead and he came back to life. That's amazing. That's something that has not happened in all the chronicles of history. It is an amazing event. But the other thing is, it's not something that's transcendent to the point that whatever you believe and however you work and do things that are good, you might save yourself. It's a reminder that even to understand these true events, God has to open your heart, open your mind to understand these events in the context of Scripture. In other words, you cannot save yourself. And of course, what is it that the world thinks is so threatening? It's this. What did Jesus say should be proclaimed throughout the world? Repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Christ. You see, this is why people dislike this. You know, on the one hand, we understand Scripture says people love darkness rather than the light. But the other thing is people don't like to hear they're sinners. Number one, they cannot save themselves. Number two, they are dreadfully wicked in the sight of God. It doesn't matter what shape or size their sins are. Any sin disqualifies them from heaven. Unless they repent of their sins, they cannot enter the gates of heaven. And so we're reminded the resurrection is so wonderful and glorious for believers. You see, it's not so wonderful and glorious for unbelievers. And of course, what does Scripture remind us? There is one name, Jesus Christ, is the only name through which men must be saved. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing, in essence. We cannot save ourselves. That's why it's so demanding on a personal level. On a personal level, people dislike to hear the message because it includes the idea that we have to change. We have to repent of our sins and come to Christ. On the big level, the political level, why are people afraid of the gospel? Because it has the power to change and transform the people. The country you may have heard me give reference to was the country of China. There are believers in China that are now being taken into basements, undisclosed locations, and sometimes they're gone for months or even years, and they're tortured. And some of them even are tortured to such a degree that they're tempted to harm themselves, perhaps even commit suicide. And they come out of there having been tortured and so forth, and the Chinese Communist Party is afraid of the power of the church. In fact, their plans go out even into the 2040s and so forth. They go out way out into the future, their economic plans and all this, and they think if that church continues to grow at 7 to 8% level year by year since the 80s, then at some point they may have to share power with Christians. They're afraid of them. Why? Because they're being transformed from those who would submit to worldly authority and bow to the idols of communism to those who worship a risen Savior, who have turned from their sins to live a moral, upstanding life, not to earn their salvation, but because they have their salvation in Christ and they want to please Him. You see, it's a life-changing thing. So when you think of Resurrection Sunday, don't just think of the warm, fuzzy feelings you get because it's a tradition we observe all the time. This is a life-transforming, amazing power of victory over sin